Okay, so science and technology are improving athletes by leaps and bounds. But what about the 800-pound gorilla in the room? Doping. Taking steroids or human growth hormones or other performance-enhancing drugs. We can all name professional or Olympic athletes whose careers have been ruined because they doped. But why don't we just consider doping the next frontier in sports science? In other words, when is it okay to use technology to enhance performance, and when is it not? Julian Savulescu is an Australian philosopher and bioethicist, and he has a simple litmus test to answer that question. What contribution is coming from the technology, and what's coming from the athlete?
People take sport more seriously than religion. Sport is the last bastion of our nature as human animals. It's a combat between human animals displaying their genetic fitness. And people, they don't like cheating because it goes against everything that we needed as animals. That was an accurate display of people's genetic potential. That's why you want to find out who is naturally the fastest runner in the world. Not the person who can run the fastest with the assistance of technology, but who just was born with the best genes. And I think that the issue of doping in sport is a test case for the case of human enhancement, of moving beyond this evolutionary historical approach to ourselves and our world. 8 out of 10 people who have run under 9.8 seconds in the men's 100 metres have subsequently been shown to or strongly implicated to be doping. To run under 9.8 seconds, you need to be taking some form of doping. Now, what is that doping that they take? It's steroids, a growth hormone. What do these substances do? They're naturally occurring substances that enhance recovery from injury and training. So when you train at that level, you will tear your muscles to pieces. You will injure yourself. And if you're to continue to train to run under 9.8 seconds, which is probably the human limit for 100 metres, you're going to have to augment the physiology that you have. But all that they are doing is enhancing what is already natural rather than a bionic limb, which is replacing what is natural physiology. The challenge of training and the mental challenge of the sport is the same. So if you look at the Tour de France, people think that cycling, people think today after Lance Armstrong it's clean. It's not clean. What's happened is they've introduced a biological passport that looks at the pattern of your red blood cell values, one of the forms of doping that Armstrong was involved in. Now, it checks whether that moves in a natural way, but it doesn't tell you whether the person's baseline was doped. If you take small doses of EPO, a hormone which increases red cells, or small amounts of blood doping, you won't be picked up on the current test. But this is safe. It enables people to perform better, and it's no different in principle to altitude training or machines or chambers that people can go into to lower the concentration in the oxygen in the air to increase their own red blood cells. The point that I'm trying to make is there's nothing wrong necessarily with doping. It can be wrong if it robs the sport of a significant human contribution. It can be wrong if it's very exaggerated and dangerous to health. But Lance Armstrong, fit as a trout. There is a question about whether, you know, doping can increase the risk of cancer. I think that's an interesting question. But it's a scientific question. It's not a question about the morality of enhancing performance that goes against nature, that finding who happened to be born with the most freakish biology of any human being.
Julian Savulescu is an Australian philosopher and bioethicist.